Good morning. You are listening to the Lowell Association for the Blind Lab Radio. Lab Radio is a member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network, your main source of accessible community news and information. We're located in Lowell, Massachusetts. We read local news, editorials, feature stories, and more. Lab Radio is brought to you by volunteers and the staff of the Lowell Association for the Blind. My name is Rosemary, and this morning I'll be reading from the current issue of the Andover Townsman. Lab would also like to thank Nancy L. and Richard K. Donahue Charitable Foundation for their support. Front page news, Andover Townsman, November 27th through December 3rd. Andover Singers National Anthem becomes part of Feaster 5 tradition. From Andover, the first time Joey Grieve sang at Feaster 5 Road Race, he was 6 years old. The Thanksgiving morning race longtime director Dave McGilvery remembers lifting the boy onto a step stool so his head would rise above the railing on the viewing platform. You could hardly see him, he said. McGilvery, who is also the Boston Marathon's longtime race director. At 11, Joey outgrew the booster, and today at 25, he has become an integral part of the feaster, a tradition, if you will. For the past 10 years or so, Grieve has sung the national anthem before the kids race at the Lower Shawshing Playground. He then walks over to the Feaster 5 grandstand and sings another patriotic song, often America the Beautiful, or God Bless America, before the 5K and 5 mile races. A rotating cast of singers performs the national anthem for the Feaster 5. Among the voices of Hope, Todd Angrily, and Sergeant Daniel Clark. Grieve grew up and still lives in Andover in the western part of town, where his neighbors include his aunt, his brother James, and a cousin, all on Petroff Circle. The family typically celebrates Thanksgiving at his aunt's home. Grieve's mom's maiden name was Cheryl Petroff, and she grew up in town. On this morning, Grieve sits on the Shawshing Square bench facing North Main Street. He is wearing what he would at the Feaster 5, a button shirt with a red, white, and blue tie, dark slacks, star-spangled socks, and dark sneakers in honor of the runners. His anthem rendition is traditional. He sings cleanly with feeling and respect. It's a representation of our country, he says. It's a representation of our heritage and our history. Even listeners get nervous for singers of the Star-Spangled Banner, which its ascending rockets, red glare, and bombs bursting in air. Grieve doesn't recall ever getting nervous before singing it, however. He first sang the anthem at Lowell Spinner's baseball game when he was 6. A few years later, he sang on Youth Day at Fenway Park before a game between the Boston Red Sox and the Baltimore Orioles. He took singing lessons for a brief time while he was in middle school and studied piano for about 10 years. On Thanksgiving morning, the whole of North Main Street is a sea of runners, about 7,000 of them. They stretch and bump in places. They might be bundled against the cold or in shorts and short sleeves. The day can bring sleet, snow, rain, gray skies, or sunshine. Viewers will usually come across a few runners in costume, a Santa here and there, and always turkey hats. The running field includes solitary trotters, mothers and daughters, fathers and sons, along with whole families. Parents push children in carriages, and leash dogs pull runners to go faster. The pre-race ceremonies include introduction and a speaker. The race starts with cheers and good cheers, swinging arms, looping strides, and patterning, slapping, thunderfoot footfalls. A truckload of tabletop apple pies awaits the finishers. Grieve says he cherishes being part of the Feaster 5, which is New England's largest Thanksgiving road race. It's family fun and fitness, apple pie and high fives, and all about traditions on the day of the year, which the most road races in America. And with this being a deep-rooted tradition in town, it has really been an amazing part of even being just a small part of it, he said. He has lots of pleasant memories. One of the first years that he sang at the event, his first grade teacher, Cindy Gerard, came to watch him. He will always remember that. Greaves went to High Plain Elementary School and Woodhill Middle School and graduated in 2019 from Andover High. In 2023, he graduated from University of Mass at Lowell. At the Feaster Five, he always sees Beth Schrift and her husband Ken, who was Greaves' physical education teacher in elementary school. Each year, he looks forward to seeing friends, neighbors, former teachers, and families at the Thanksgiving morning race, which is really the best part of the morning, to be grateful to be part of this community, he said. And there is a picture of him when he was 7 and a current picture of him at 25. New Feaster 5 Challenge from the Andover Townsman. From Andover, the Feaster 5 Andover Road Race on Thanksgiving Day, featuring family fun, fitness, and apple pie, takes over downtown Andover with more than 7,000 runners and walkers of all ages who were expected to join this event. When runners lined up at the starting line, they will be chasing two well-known targets, Bruins legend and Hall of Famer Zendo Chara and World Marathon Champion Becca Pizzi, for the brand new You Catch Them Challenge. For every runner who finished the 5-mile course or 5K course with a time that beats Chara and Pizza, $1 will be donated to the Feaster Fund by sponsor Tara's Jersey Design. Annually, the race helps benefit the Merrimack Valley Striders Scholarship Fund presented by Schneider Electric. Race proceeds have given over $250,000 in scholarships to local student athletes. Last spring, $22,000 was awarded. As for Chara and Pizzi, they won't be easy to catch, especially in the 5-mile, as the Bruins legend finished the Feaster 5 previously under 33 minutes. For runners in the 5K, they have a shot. Runners who beat Chara and Pizzi will receive a special digital certificate. Chara and Pizzi will also serve as the official race starters on Main Street. The 38th annual Feaster 5 race was presented by Schneider Electric and hosted by the Merrimack Valley Striders, a club. A signature of the Feaster 5 are the tabletop apple pies handed out at the end of the race. It is thrilling to see thousands of families come together on Thanksgiving morning, year after year, to be active together and support the community, said Diane Genetti, president of the Merrimack Valley Striders. The Feaster 5 continues to be a meaningful event for families and provides funding to important community organizations. The Inclusive Kids Race, which includes a 5-country-style option, honoring the memory of Sidney Olson, 5, who was struck and killed by a vehicle while crossing the street in Elm Square in Andover. Along with Sidney's Rainbow Fund, proceeds from the Feaster 5 will support the Merrimack Valley Striders High School Scholarship Fund, the Merrimack Valley YMCA, and the Bellissini Academy of Lawrence. The Volunteer Run Race Expo, which ran Tuesday and Wednesday, included shoppers, sponsors, booths, VIP book signings, and more. Over the last 30 years, thousands of people have gathered their families together to run or walk the 5K or 5-mile route that weaves through downtown Andover, finishing at Andover Landing at Brickstone Square. The Feaster 5 is managed by DMSE Sports, led by the race director Dave McGilvery, running legend who has directed or consulted on more than 1,400 events through the world, including the Boston Marathon, the Olympic Marathon Trials, and the Olympic Games. From the opinion page, a tribute to an unsung hero. This is a commentary by William Colby. I was scanning the book reviews on a recent Sunday New York Times when a page appeared dedicated to the novel A Sea of Lemon Trees by Maria Dolores Aguilera. The title initially elicited some nostalgia from the septuagenarian, whereby I got caught up in a replay mode of the song Lemon Tree by Trini Lopez, especially the verse, "But the fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat." As I read further, I wondered if the 1965 song, which hit number 20 on the Billboard's Hot 100, could have been anything to do with the novel's main topic, the 1931 desegregation battle known as the Lemon Grove Incident that unfolded in San Diego. Could Lopez, born in a little Mexico neighborhood of Dallas, Texas in 1937, have intentionally embedded a pro-immigrant message concerning the unheralded moment in American history when a Mexican community came together to fight educational justice? Although a further review of the song's lyrics pointed to a theme more along the lines of unrequited love, nevertheless, it turns out that the Lemon Grove incident story is one that is compelling recent embracing themes from books banned and anti-immigrant rhetoric to the Supreme Court's landmark Brown versus Board of Education decision in 1954. And its major protagonist is a 12-year-old boy who suddenly thrusts to the forefront and rises to the challenge of the case with national implication. Since 1921, Pan America has documented nearly 20,000 books bans in public schools across the country, many targeting stories about race and racism or books featuring colors of choice. Back in 2012, Matt DeLapina had his first brush with censorship when it became illegal to teach one of his novels, Mexican White Boy, in the Tucson Unified School District. His book was part of a popular Mexican-American studies program that sought to empower students through a curriculum grounded in history, literature, and contributions of Mexican-Americans. In 2017, a federal judge deemed the ban unconstitutional. More often than not, these bans are born of fear, an effort to tamp down stories that hold up a mirror to our country, wrote DeLapina. But how will we understand our history, both our triumphs and our missteps, if certain voices are silenced? How can we expect to grow as a nation if we are not willing to be self-critical? Enter 12-year-old Roberto Alvarez. In the Southwest and California in the 1930s, Mexican immigrants and their communities were the targeted groups of segregation by school officials. A case of particular importance occurred in San Diego in 1931, Roberto Alvarez versus the Board of Trustees of the Lemon Grove School District, the first successful school desegregation court decision in the history of the United States. This case is important because it shows how Mexican community took court actions and won its case and established the right of their children to equal education, despite local, regional, and national sentiment that favored not only segregation, but the actual deportation of the Mexican population in the United States. Their unity and perseverance were tested as never before during the early part of 1931. Most of these families had been in the Lemon Grove for a number of years. Stories that reveal the power of community and the courage of young individuals inspire us to fight for what's right and insist that all young people belong. Near the end of the novel, Roberto shares an especially poignant thought that is just as relevant today. And it's a quote, "There is so much I do not know about the world, but I hope people learn about what happened in the Sea of Lemon Trees. I make a wish that children of every color can go to school together and never feel like they don't belong." And as a post note, the author says, Roberto Alvarez grew up to found Coast Citrus, a binational produce import-export firm with the offices in San Diego to Miami and Los Angeles. Also from the opinion page, Ask Joan, celebrating National Home Care and Hospice Month. Question to Ann. I know November is National Home Care and Hospice Month, and I'd like to recognize the kind of people who do that kind of work. Can you share what they do and how they help older adults stay independent? Answer, I'm happy to have the opportunity to share a little bit about the Age Span Home Care Program in recognition of National Home Care and Hospice Month. Here at Aged Care, the Home Care Program is at the core of our mission. Last year, our caring, capable care managers helped nearly 5,400 older adults access the services and support they need to live safely and independently at home. When someone calls or is referred to us, a care manager visits their home to complete an assessment and create a customized care plan. The Age Span contracts with local agencies to provide the services, and care managers check in on a regular basis to make sure the plan meets the ongoing needs. We're incredibly proud of the professionals who come to work every day to make a difference in the lives of older adults and their families. People like Claire Manager Ann Souza, who recently celebrated 40 years of caring for children at Age Span. Caring for clients at Age Span. For Ann, being a care manager is all about connection. Seeing my clients is the best part of my day. Every visit is different, she said. When you're out there in the field, you learn how to work with all kinds of people, and you learn to stand your ground and to speak up for what your client needs. Ann is just one of the many caregivers providing personalized compassion care for older adults across the 28 cities and towns we serve. If you work with a care manager, or if you have a family member or friend who is a home care worker, take a minute and thank them for all they do. They play an important role in helping people live and age well in their communities, and we're all better off as a result. And if you're caring for an older adult or need help finding healthy aging resource, you can call H-SPAN at 800-892-0890. Again, that number, H-SPAN, 800-892-0890. You are listening to the Lowell Association for the Blind's Lab Radio. Lab Radio is a member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Lab would like to thank UMass Lowell's WUML-FM for providing the radio signals that allows us to broadcast 5 days a week. From the Andover Townsman, for the record, sacred items find new home in North Andover Synagogue. From North Andover, a local synagogue ordered the legacies of two close congregations as it welcomed their cherished ritual artifacts into a new home. During a special event, Congressional Avant Alm, 1600 Osgood Street, unveiled the permanent installation of a 100-year-old sacred artifact from two Merrimack Valley Jewish congregations which closed their doors in recent years after serving the community for a century or more. The installation took place during L'Dor L'Dvi, From Generation to Generation, a legacy in motion which honored the legacy of the two congregations as their objects became part of a shared story, weaving past and present and passing tradition from one generation to the next. Rabbi Eden Erlander unveiled sacred artifacts installed at the congregation Avat Olam from two shuttered synagogues, Congregation Asham Shalom of Lawrence and Temple Emmanuel L. of Haverhill. We are the beneficiaries of all who have paved the way before us, he said. Max Dolson, a founding member of the congregation Avat Olam, welcomed members of the shuttered synagogues, local dignitaries, and members of the temple to the unifying event. The special event celebrates tradition, and the artifact is passed from one generation to the next. The North Andover Synagogue inherited numerous sacred items from the two close synagogues. The sacred artifacts are the embodiment of love, they are the embodiment of tradition, and they are the embodiment of caring. Dawson expressed his gratitude to the two shuttered synagogues for passing meaningful and spiritual artifacts to the young North Andover Temple, which will be able to honor their histories in a new space. The Lawrence Synagogue gave the North Andover congregation a starter kit of sacred objects when it started in July 2022. Haverhill's Temple Emmanuel L. also blessed the new temple with items like the Seats of Honor. Frieda Kaufman, final president of Ashin Shalom, recalled an emotional meeting with Irelander first presented her with the idea of some of her temple's artifacts finding a new home in North Andover. But she said at Congregation Avot Olam, she is able to look around and see that her congregation and its sacred ritual artifacts are not forgotten. I'm grateful and relieved that everything has a place now. Everything of importance has a place, and we have a place, she said. Carol Ann Goldberg, chair of the Sacred and Precious Artifacts Committee of Temple Emmanuel, and when the congregation building closed, it wasn't just closing a building. It closed a spiritual home that held our stories, our shared traditions for generations, she said. Concerns for the items, so long a part of their worship, looking to find meaningful places for them. You welcome pieces of our past, she told Congregation Avot Olam. Goldberg highlighted how clergy chairs have been a part of the holiday celebration and life cycle events of its members and other items, which carry deep emotional weight for all of us. We're able to continue to serve and support worship now for years to come. She said the North Andover Temple acceptance of its sacred objects assured the Shuttered Synagogue's members that those objects will live on in a Jewish home of worship with respect. From the local section of the Andover Townsman, Rotary Club launches Holiday Lights Contest. From Andover, the Rotary Club of Andover has announced its inaugural Holiday Lights Contest, a festive fundraiser designed to brighten the town and bring neighbors together in the spirit of giving and celebration. The contest is open to residents, neighborhoods, and businesses throughout Andover. It invites participants to showcase their most dazzling holiday light displays while supporting the Rotary's charitable initiatives. This contest is more than just lights. It's about illuminating the generosity and spirit of Andover. Event Chair Jamie Lyman said, "We're excited to see homes and businesses shine while raising funds for causes that matter." Registration is open and will close on December 9th at midnight. There are multiple categories to participate in and include Best House, Best Neighborhoods, Best Business, and Best Professionally Installed Display. The entry fee is $20 and all proceeds benefit the Rotary Club of Andover's Charitable Trust, which awards grants to local, regional, and international nonprofit causes. Judging will take place on December 10th. Winners will be announced on December 15th. Those who enter should be sure their displays are lit up on judging night. More information from the local section. From Andover, the Andover Recreation Department will run a holiday activity where children 3 to 10 have the opportunity to speak on telephone with Santa and Mrs. Claus at the North Pole. This was held on December 3rd. Christmas at Rolling Ridge, coming up. Rolling Ridge Retreat and Conference Center is planning Christmas at Rolling Ridge from 2 to 7 p.m. December 14th and 4 to 7 December 17th. Guests will be invited to stroll through the decorated rooms at their own pace, then cast votes for their favorites. This is the first ever holiday decorating showcase at the venue, which involves staff, along with their families and friends, adopting rooms in the Georgian manner, with the intention of transforming the space into a festive wonderland. Bedrooms, meeting space, and the grounds will be adorned with holiday splendor, and you will have the opportunity to select the winners through your votes. This is a family-friendly event. Adults are $15 per person, children 5 to 12, 5, and children under 4 free. Hot cider, hot chocolates, and other beverages, along with freshly baked Christmas trees, are available as part of the admission. For more information, you can call them at 978-682-8815, extension 009. That number for Christmas at Rolling Ridge, 978-682-8815, extension 009. Locals dance in the Nutcracker. Six local dance students of the Andover School of Ballet, Jazz, Tap, and More from at 114 Park Street in Andover are gearing up to perform in local area productions of the holiday ballet, The Nutcracker. These students rehearse their roles every week, as well as continuing their schedule of weekly dance classes at the dance studio. The Andover School of Ballet, Jazz, Tap, and More has been in town for more than 45 years. Each dancer went through an audition and then waited to hear if they were chosen for the role in order to be cast in these productions. These dancers will now have the opportunity to perform on stage in a professional production and learn firsthand about the life of a professional dancer. Performing in the Dance Prism Project of the Nutcracker on December 20th to December 21st at the Collins Center for Arts at Andover High School, 100 Shawshing Road, are Scarlett Price, Sally Minzer Rosando, Elaine Scott, Julian Yates, Yanvier Kumar, and Olivia Knight. Some students perform in the touring cast dancing every weekend from November 30th through December 24th at Fall River, Suddenbury, Littleton, Worcester, and Andover, while other students in a regional cast will perform their parts only in the Andover performance. Holiday Market is back from Andover. The Andover Holiday Market returns this year from noon to 6, December 6, at South Church, 41 Central Street. The market is a primary fundraiser for Andover Farmers Market. Proceeds benefit both the Andover Farmers Market and the Village Food Hub. The market will feature indoor and outdoor activities, including a juried artisan market with local artisans and food producers, live music, children's activities, a beer and wine garden, fresh fruit, and opportunities to take holiday photos. The outdoor food court will feature seafood, barbecue, vegan, chili, sweet treats, Sicilian specialties, and a hot cocoa bar. Buy raffle tickets to support food justice efforts and chance to win items donated by vendors and the community. All proceeds from the raffle will be donated to the Village Food Hub and earmarked to support the Andover Farmers Market SNAP Match program. SNAP Match is also available at the Holiday Market. Sydney's Rainbow and Village Play Space will be outside with children's activities. Visitors can also make Christmas wreaths with Samantha's Gardens, while you can also visit with Santa Mrs. Claus between 3:00 and 4:30 and 5 o'clock. Olaf from Frozen will be at the market from 3:00 to 4:30. There is also an opportunity to donate food to the Village Food Hub with the donation boxes set up near the entrance. There is a suggested $2 donation per person and or $10 donation per family to benefit the Andover Farmers Market. Big Bow Fair, returns to North Andover. The North Parish Unitarian Universalist Church of North Andover announced the return of a popular holiday tradition with the 67th annual Red Bow Fair to take place from 9 to 2, December 6, at the church, 190 Academy Row. The fair is free and open to the public. There will be fun, festival gifts, food activities, and more. The fair silent auction will be available for viewing and bidding online starting noon, December 4th, through 1:30 p.m. on December 6th. The silent auction will feature items such as tickets to sports events, original art, jewelry, restaurant certificates, and more. The Red Bow Fair will also raffle off a quill as well as an instant wine cellar prize. The quilt misprint and wine raffles are available. All proceeds benefit the North Parish Church and its mission. Food clothing donations flow in ahead of the holiday from North Andover. The on and off rain shower Saturday morning were no match for the steady stream of Merrimack Valley residents pulling into the Eagle Tribune parking lot, each car's trunk packed full of winter clothing, non-perishable, and toiletries ahead of the holiday. For about 25 years, the newspaper's annual event has supported local families in need. The employee-run effort was no different this year, with visitors lopping through the lot from 8 to 11. Employees playing volunteers for the day, Check the Bright and Early, David Schultz, Mia Sanchez, Bridget Smart, and a crew of other greeters unloaded trucks on supporting this endeavor. By 9:30, the pace picked up with SUVs hauling in goodies every minute, two and three at a time. The drivers opened a kickstart from Ashley Hussey, the founder of Project Warm and Fuzzy, which collects scarves, mittens, and other warm for homeless shelters and residents. All the clothing will be distributed through the Lazarus House. Hussey, a former Lawrence Eagle Tribune, pulled in with about 20 plastic bags stuffed tight with donated winter clothing. It was a family affair for her, volunteering alongside her husband, two of her children, and her mother. By the end of the morning, crates of boxes overflowed with winter gear, food, and essentials, another showing of the Merrimack Valley's holiday spirit at Thanksgiving and Christmas. Bringing out the bells from Lawrence, with music and customary bell ringing, the Salvation Army continues a 135-year tradition at local market baskets. The Salvation Army kicked off its annual Red Kettle campaign with midday celebrations at local grocery stores that included volunteers, musicians, and even a saxophonist performing holiday music. The Salvation Army in Lawrence expects to raise $100,000 locally through this year's Red Kettle campaign to meet increasing requests for assistance. Thank you for listening to the Lowell Association for the Blind's Lab Radio. Lab Radio is a member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. There are many ways to listen to Lab Radio. You can request a free specialized radio receiver, or for more information, give us a call at Lab 978-454-5704. Our Lab phone number is 978-454-5704. And you can listen to Lab Radio anytime by dialing 1-631-359-9069. Anytime for the radio, 1-631-359-9069. And you can visit our website where you can tune into Lab Radio at LowellAssociationForTheBlind.org. That's all one word, LowellAssociationForTheBlind.org. Thanks for listening.